Who is this God we serve? Who is he? Now, we know he has many names. El Shaddai, Yahweh, Elohim, Adonai. We sang this morning, Jehovah Rapha. God has many, many, many names. And they're all each very purposeful and meaningful to describe who God is. It's important that we take time to say, who is our God? What is he like? Right? He's not like you or I, who we can see and we can describe in physical form or in personality, but he is. And he always has been. And yes, he has character traits that he is known by. It benefits us to take time to meditate upon the very fabric of God, the character of God. Who is he? There's many metaphors in the Bible that help us, that are put there by the authors to help describe who God is. There are many helpful ways to imagine God or to better understand aspects of God. We probably know them well. There's metaphors like God is a strong, mighty warrior who fights on our behalf. God is like a strong tower, a fortress that cannot be overcome, cannot be defeated. God is our shepherd, right? God is our shepherd. He leads us, he guides us, he directs us, he protects us. See, all metaphors, and we could just go on and on and on with metaphors to speak about who God is. God is strong, he's powerful, he's mighty, he's courageous, and we know him through these images that are given to us. And you see, the Hebrew language is full of images because we do literally imagine in our mindset that this is who God is. But let me meditate and draw us to meditate on one aspect of God that I don't know we always think about, but I think is so, so crucial and so important. In fact, it has hit each one of us in a deeply personal way. I want to talk about God and his compassion. Is that the first thing you think about God? When you think about God, is that the first thing you think about? It might be. It depends, maybe even your experience of God and how you've experienced him. But God is a compassionate God. Exodus 34, 5 and 6 speaks of God. And I want to look at this scripture. It says, then the Lord came down in the cloud and stood there with him and proclaimed his name, the Lord. And he passed in front of Moses, proclaiming, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. See, God even describes himself in this way, that this is who he is. He says God is compassionate, he's gracious, he's slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. And yet he's a fire by night and a cloud by day. He's the mighty God who parts the Red Sea. He's powerful. He rains down fire. And things like Sodom and Gomorrah. And places in the Bible where he seems all-powerful and even fearful. And yet he speaks of himself as compassionate, gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. Well, God is compassionate. And each of us here proves that point. Because God's compassion has been given to us. It's been given to you. It's been given to me. We're beneficiaries of God's compassion. And I want to look a little deeper at this word in the Bible, even as it's used. In the Hebrew, the word racham, translated as compassionate in this verse in Exodus 34. This word racham has a word picture that we want to look deeper. There is the description of God, and there's also the noun form of compassion. And so racham and rachamim, the noun form, which translates simply as compassion. But the picture that we get from the Hebrew is really key. to all this. And that's what the Hebrew language does. It builds an image, a word picture. So let's look a little deeper at this. Racham, or compassionate, is literally derived from a Hebrew word called rechem. And rechem is translated as womb. Womb, like a mother's womb. Now that seems kind of odd to say that's where we get our word compassion from, but that's where it comes from. So what the writer is portraying here is compassion, is speaking of compassion, is an image literally of a mother tenderly caring and tenderly nurturing the life of the unborn baby within her womb. Now think about that. What does a mother feel? Well, guys, you may not know. But what does a mother feel for the child in her womb? Isn't there a love that is coming forward? Isn't there a care, a nurture? Life stops. The baby's coming. And all things are focused upon the child. It's a compassion, a mother tenderly encompassing herself around the child, caring for the child. It's care for the small things in life, the vulnerable things, the innocent, the helpless, and the feelings inside that reach out to love, to care for that which is weak, helpless, in need of us, in need of your love. It's a love that lies deep within and reaches out with sacrificial tendencies. Do mothers ever sacrifice for their children? Maybe you've experienced sacrifice in your own life as you gave of yourself for the child. The child that was vulnerable and helpless and needed your care and attention. So the Hebrew language gives us a powerful image of what God's compassion looks like. And today, being Mother's Day, you know, we celebrate. We celebrate the love that a mother has for her child and all the sacrifice and all the giving and all the care that goes into raising a child. It's not easy to raise children. Well, I mean, was it easy, right, to raise your children? I mean, it's not easy. It requires, you can't do it without sacrifice, unless somebody else is raising your children. But we do it because of love, of care, of for that child, for the life that has been given to us. So we look at this, and in one sense, we celebrate all mothers in the house and that motherly inclination that is within the one that God has given you. You know, God has given us that which is within that reaches out to sacrifice and to give of ourselves. God has given us this love within, and specifically, mothers, you know what it's like to care for the child in the womb. So you know that something has been given to you by God. And the writers of Scripture tell us that it's within God's nature. Nurturing, loving, it's within God's nature. And these words that are describing God, and we get the word racham, that God is compassionate, it is connecting with this motherly love. You see, we're made in the image of God, right? We're made in the image of God. And it's not that just women got all the compassion and men got none, but because we're all made in the image of God, we can know. We can know the very compassion of God. You see, it's like you and I, we're like that helpless baby. We're like that helpless child. We couldn't save ourselves. And if we thought we could, we came to a place of failure to the point where we finally realized that, God, I'm helpless without you. I cannot do anything apart from you. I need you. And that song we sang today, I need you, Lord, I need you. That cry is important because it's the cry of a baby to its mother. It's the cry, I need you. Each one of us who knows Christ as our Lord and Savior came to a place and says, Lord God, I need you. And it's not just because I'm having a little financial problem over here and I need a few dollars. It's not that I'm just having a little relational issue and I need some help. I mean, all those are true. But for my very life, I owe it to God. We cannot save ourselves. We are all objects of compassion. We're all the one in the womb who needs God to wrap himself around us, to hold us, to care for us, to protect us, to love us. So each one of us knows something about compassion because we have received and be recipients of compassion, God's compassion, and the compassion even of others that have been shown to us. So Scripture tells us about this nature of God, this compassionate nature, this word racham, which gives us this image of God that's like a mother, that has the heart of a mother. We see this aspect of God. And I do believe that in our walk with God, as we grow closer to God, we come to know God's compassion, not only for our lives, but for others. To know how God's heart beats. To know how he looks at those who are helpless, who are weak, who are vulnerable, who maybe are sick, who need help. And to look at them with compassion. To have a sense of his love for them. And that it comes within and wells up within. See, because I believe we are made in the image of God. And I believe we are to resemble him in this way. As he has had compassion on us, we also are to have compassion. And I believe that as we grow towards God, in Christ, that our nature will conform more to his, that we will experience more and more of this compassion. So I think this is true for men and women. Though women, you have experiences that we do not have, and we do not have a womb, so we do not understand, but yet this speaks to that we, because we're made in the image of God, both male and female, we can grow in this compassion of God. Because it's not so much about anatomy as it is about the heart that God gives us and what God has put in us and is forming in us that reaches beyond ourselves to help others. See, because within compassion is the element of sacrifice, of giving, the giving of ourselves to be and care and love others. Compassion leads us to sacrifice. This is why you can't sit there and just see a child cry and not want to meet or care the need of the child and to love that child. So we're moved by something that is compelling within us. You know, it's interesting because compassion can play out in different ways. And I thought about this because I was thinking about men, how can we experience compassion sometimes in the ways that maybe women, we might experience it somewhat differently. But I was thinking about who is a compassionate man that I know of. And I thought about George Mueller. George Mueller came to my mind. I don't know if you know who George Mueller. He was a missionary. But before he was a missionary traveling all over the world, he built orphanages in England. And he did it because he saw street kids with no mother and father out and about running around. And they had no families. And he, without even hardly a penny in his pocket, begin to take children into his home and feed them. And you know some of the stories. If you know the stories, why does it say go and read the story or go and see a video on the story? He would pray for food because he didn't have any. And he had 30 kids sitting down at a table ready for a meal. And he would go in the back room and says, we're going to pray. You guys sit down, get ready for the meal. And we went back and prayed. And as he's praying, the milkman walking by, or not driving by, in the horse cart in those days, in the 19th century, broke down. The horse cart broke down right in front of the orphanage. And the man knocks on the door and says, I have all this milk. I can't go anywhere. It will spoil if I leave it out here. Could you use the milk that we have? And then knock, 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 just a few minutes later, somebody with grocery bags, groceries just dropping off and said, the Lord told me to come and bake bread for you and make and bring food to you. The Lord told me. And he would feed all the children. He wasn't compelled because he had lots of resources and lots of money. He was compelled by what God had put in him, this compassion for the helpless. It was stirred within. This is that racham. This is that motherly womb feeling sense. And what did he do? He built orphanages for tens of thousands of orphans that he educated, housed, and fed over many years of time. In fact, George Mueller was said to have millions of dollars passed through his hands. In fact, if he would have been an extremely rich man, all that money been for him. But everything he took in, he gave out to missions and to building orphanages and doing and sacrificing for the least of these. So George Mueller knew something about compassion. Well, the Hebrew word racham conveys a depth of love and even emotion within the kind that would sacrifice for others. In this story, there's a story about King Solomon in 1 Kings. And the story that is actually relaying his great wisdom, he has to adjudicate a situation between two women. And if you know the story, there's two women who have had a child, a baby, and they're both caretaking, and they're in the same house, and they're caretaking the child. One loses her baby in the night. Maybe she turned over on the baby and suffocated. We don't know exactly, but the baby died in the night. But she took her baby, her dead baby, and she gave it to the other woman with the live baby. And she took the live baby for herself. And now here they're bringing this case before the king. And he has to adjudicate this situation between these two women as they're fighting over the live baby. And we pick up where King Solomon is now coming to the point of he's heard the case and now he's going to apply. And it says, the king said, bring me a sword. So they brought a sword for the king. He then gave an order, cut the living child in two and give half to the one and half to the other. The woman whose son was alive was deeply moved out of love for her son and said to the king, please, my lord, give her the living baby. Don't kill him. And one more. But the other said, well, neither I nor you shall have him. Cut him in two. Then the king gave his ruling. Give the living baby to the first woman. Do not kill him. She is the mother. Now you know this story. And you know how King Solomon knew. Because in the scriptures, when it says that the woman who heard this cut the baby in two, the woman whose son was alive was deeply moved out of love. This is the word. This is that word for compassion. Rachamim, the noun form for the word compassion. Deeply moved within her out of love for the child. She was willing to sacrifice her even ability to be the mother of this child, that this child would live. And King Solomon knew. He knew who the true mother was. The true mother would sacrifice for her child. The true mother would love and give and not take life. Throughout Scripture, compassion is not a static feeling. It's not just a feeling to have, but it's something deeply within that compels us. It's a compelling feeling. With God, see, compassion just doesn't sit in heaven as just a feeling up there, because compassion compels and has compelled God to do, to give, to care, to protect, to act on behalf of many. Israel, us, many, many, many. God has acted on his object of his affections. So it describes a mother who takes action to care for her children, but this comes from God. It comes from his character. And it describes, there's a point in time when Jesus is overlooking Jerusalem. He's overlooking Israel. And he speaks these words that describes, again, the nature of God. As he yearns over Jerusalem to take her in, to protect her, to bring her out of the time of judgment that awaited her. Matthew 23, verse 37. As Jesus is looking over the horizon over Jerusalem, he says, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who killed the prophets and stoned those sent to you, how often," look at those words, "how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were not willing." The longing of God. Think about this. The longing of God to show compassion, to love, to give, to nurture, to care, to protect, as his desire to care. He knows the destruction that awaits Jerusalem. He knows the armies that will come in and destroy everything. He knows the disaster that is to take place. His longing is to wrap his arms around them and take them into himself. This is God's desire. This shows who he is. This is his desire for you. This is his desire for me. He has this, in some ways, you could call it motherly instincts, in that sense of wrapping and caring and taking unto himself. And it said, Israel was not willing. But God says that even for a people who were not willing, even for a people who were rebellious, even for those who became prodigals and ran away from God, that God does not forget. God does not forget his child. Isaiah 49, verse 13 through 15. God says he will always love the child, the children he's born. Let's read. It says, "Sing for joy, O heavens. Rejoice, O earth. Burst into song, O mountains. For the Lord has comforted his people and will have compassion on them in their suffering." Yet Jerusalem says, "The Lord has deserted us. The Lord has forgotten us." Never, never can a mother forget her nursing child. Can she feel no love for the child she has born? But even if that were possible, I would not forget you. It's not possible for God to forget his children. It's not possible. And God, even with a rebellious people, is reaching out to gather his people back to himself. This is why also I believe that there is a time coming where even God is bringing in the remnant of Israel. And he's reaching out and he's saying, preach to Israel so that Israel will know the gospel and that there will be many, 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 and there are many. Because in fact, we are seeing, and this is kind of a side, but the church, Messianic church in Israel has been growing over these last decades. A church that hardly existed when the nation of Israel first formed is now grown to many, 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 many people, hundreds of thousands of believers. And it's growing today. See, God is still reaching out. He does not forget. He has not forgotten Israel. He does not forget his children. God does not forget us. He does not forget you in your time of pain and sorrow and difficulty, in your worst moments. He has not forgotten you. Those times of emotional turmoil are hard and they're difficult, but he's there. He's there. He's with us. He has not forgotten us. We are objects of God's compassion, and he desires to pour out his compassion upon us. All those who belong to God have received his compassion. And yet God says, cry out to me. Cry out to me. Seek me. Look unto me. It's an action for us. It's really like the child who calls out for his mother and cries out and asks to be taken into her arms. You know, sometimes we just have to be reduced, lose all of our sophistication, lose all of our education, lose all of our amazingness, and be a little child to God, to be his child. Because sometimes that's just what we need, to cry out to him and to be taken into his arms and to receive and experience the compassion of God. Limitations tells us that God's compassions will never fail. Limitations 3:22. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for him. I don't know if you've ever had that experience when you were a child. You're waiting for your parents, and they had not showed up yet. And all the other parents showed up, but you were the last one. Have you ever had the experience? And you just kind of wondered, where's mom, where's dad? And you know what? You didn't have a cell phone because they didn't exist. And you might have to walk down to the payphone because you're wondering, where's mom? Where's dad? And was there that feeling just on the inside, just on a little bit of like, have I been forgotten? Or am I lost in the crowd in the midst of this park or this place, and all of a sudden I look around and there's nobody around. I'm just by myself. What does that feeling feel like, that moment of feeling lost or maybe forgotten? But even there, the Bible says, wait, wait for him. He will not fail. His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes if you go to bed in tears, but you go to bed in his arms, you will wake up in the arms of your Savior. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He comforts the weak, the brokenhearted. He meets us in our time of need. Hallelujah. It is God. It is his very nature. It is who he is. He's a compassionate God. He's not indifferent. He's not uninterested in you. He's engaged. He's looking for those he can pour out his compassion upon. And when Jesus looked over the crowds in Israel, Racham rises up within him. It rises up within him. Matthew 9, verse 36. Jesus, looking out over the crowds, he saw the crowds. He had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field." He sees the people. He sees the crowds. And he knows they might have hunger physically, but he knows their greater need, their spiritual need. They're like sheep without a shepherd, harassed, helpless, weak, vulnerable, being taken advantage of. And his compassion comes out of him and compels him to love them and do everything for them, and yes, to die and give himself sacrificially for them and for us. And he gives this command, and this command is for us too. For all the helpless, all those out in the world today who are vulnerable, who are being harassed, who are being taken advantage of, who have, yes, physical needs, but have great spiritual needs. Ask, Father God, send the harvesters out into the fields. Send them out. The call is going out. This is part of our call too, because our call is to be like Christ in the sense that we are to have compassion and love for those who are harassed, helpless, vulnerable, in need, spiritually depraved, without knowledge of God, needing a shepherd to lead them to him. There's a great need in the world today. And the great thing is we are called into the divine nature of Christ, which means we're called into the compassion of Christ. We're called to have that compassion and say, and sometimes we say, but Lord, I don't feel. And sometimes we have to pray, Lord, may I understand what your compassion is like for those people. And sometimes it's the people we don't like. It's the people that sometimes we're thinking, fire and brimstone is good. But what God says to James and John is, you don't know what you're speaking of. And it's better to have mercy. Mercy. And so we're to experience this compassion. So sometimes we have to pray, God, I don't have compassion for these people over here. Would you help me to have compassion? Because I know they need you. I know they need a revelation of your love and your grace and your mercy. God, may I experience your compassion for the lost, for the helpless, for the needy, for those who, that because of your ability in me and through me, God, that I could do something to bring forward your grace, your ministry on this earth today. And God calls each of us to be part of his ministry of compassion, each one of us. And to grow in this experience of Christ in us. Because as we experience the compassion of God, it will compel us. We can't just do nothing. It compels us to do something, to partake somehow, to plant a seed, to do something to love, to bless, to help, even if it's one person, a life, one life touched. It doesn't have to be the crowds or the multitude. It can just be the one. When God calls us to the one, it fulfills the heart of God. It fulfills the heart of Christ for that person. I just, even the idea, the story of the blind man in the pool of Bethesda. Siloam. Okay. The pool. By the pool. Jesus just, he went for the one. But there was a lot of sick people there. There's a lot of people who needed help. But he went for the one. Fulfilling God's heart to reach out and minister to the one. So I believe that as we grow in Christ, we are to partake in the work of Christ, and partaking in the work of Christ is going to bring us to a place of compassion. And we're even commanded to have compassion as God's people. As we end, Colossians 3:12 says this about who we are to be as God's people. It says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion. Put on the garments. Compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. Fruits of the Spirit. To walk as Christ walked. Oh my goodness. Is it going to require sacrifice? Yes. You can't have compassion without sacrificing some aspect of giving of yourself for the other. And yet, I believe as we do that, we're going to be partaking in this work of Christ that makes us a part of this body of Christ that brings us in greater unity with Christ. And I believe we'll know the heart of Christ more as we step into those places of compassion. And I believe this is God's calling on our life to be His people. So let us grow in Christ. Let us grow in the character of God. Let's grow in compassion, allowing our hearts to care as God cares, love as He loves, and remembering we that have received His compassion, who are objects of His compassion, now can be givers and partakers of spreading it into the world. What is the Lord calling you to do today?